you've got Mac Brazel, you've got his son Bill, you have the Proctors, Loretta and Floyd, seeing a little piece of the debris. Their son D being with Brazel when he finds a thing. There was Tommy Tyree, who had been a hired hand working with Brazel on the ranch up there. You've got all the military people. You've got every member of Colonel Blanchard's staff. I mean, the primary staff, the adjutant, the intelligence officer, the operations officer. They're all directly involved in this sort of in this sort of thing. You've got the people who are out there picking up the debris. And seeing, you know, metallic debris really doesn't tell you a whole lot about what's going on. You've got some other people who did see the body, so we've got direct linkage to that. But there were literally dozens of people who were involved in that. But we also have to remember that this is back in the late 1940s, where if the government asked you to keep something quiet, you pretty well did it.
You kept it quiet.
Absolutely. It's not like today where you have a secret, and the first thing you do is call up the news to tell them what you know. And the best example is when Bin Laden was killed. How quickly did the news media jump on that, and how many rumors did we hear from the so-called inside sources before we finally got a pretty clear story
right.
of what was going on?
And then even then it changed a little bit during the next couple days.
Absolutely. But the real point is, back in the 1940s, you'd have never had that.
No. We didn't have cell phones with cameras or anything like that.
Or the internet, where if I have my opinion, how bizarre my opinion might be, I can get it I can give it, put it in an area where millions can see it. And I was just actually talking to a neighbor today, and she preferred using encyclopedias to look stuff up. And I said, well, I prefer the internet, simply because instead of getting the person's opinion who wrote the one article on the encyclopedia, on the internet, you can get a whole diversity of opinions, and you kind of have to wade through a lot of nonsense to get to the really good stuff. But you can get all this diversity of opinions, so you're not channeled into that single stream.
And that's absolutely right. Paint us a picture for a moment, Kevin, just so people can get an idea here of what it might have been looked like, the crash site, what it looked like as the military and people came upon the site.
Well, the best information that we have is that there was actually more than one site.
Right.
The Brazel Ranch site, we've always called the debris field, because it seemed that it was just metallic debris. Bill Brazel said that there was a gouge in the terrain, 500 yards long, something like that, where it took 2 years for the grass to grow back. Into the gouge. But so there was a gouge where the thing sort of hit and slid along the ground and then skipped, but it also lost a lot of debris, metallic debris. And it wasn't, From the descriptions we have from the Marcells, from the Brazels, it doesn't seem to be the range of debris you would expect if, like, an airplane had crashed. You know, it's just metallic debris and a limited number of different items. Bill Brazel talked about this foil-like material that you could wad up and let go of it, it would unfold itself.
Yeah.
And he talked about the fiber optics type things that he saw, and something that he described as light as balsa wood. It had the density of balsa wood, but it was so tough that he couldn't whittle on it with his knife. So you had that, but you had another location where the main part of the craft came down, and that's where the bodies were located. And I think that you had a lot of military people cleaning up the debris field and a lot of people there, but when you get to the site where there were the bodies, you had a much smaller number of people involved in that, bringing them back to the base at Roswell, and then getting them out of New Mexico and on to Wright Field.
Right? And you said there were two sites. Were there two craft involved here?
Stan and I disagree on this. Stan believes that there were two craft, one that collided. One came down on the plains of San Augustine, the other one came down closer to Roswell. And I disagree with that. I think there was a single event, and the two crash sites were closer together, and they were all
It was debris from one craft, probably.
Debris from one craft, exactly, and that it hit on the Brazel Ranch, left the debris, skipped, and then came down further away, and that was where the main body of the craft and the bodies were found. And I talked to Dee Proctor, I think, twice, both times by accident. He was a very reclusive man, didn't want to talk to anybody. And the first time I talked to him, I was trying to get a hold of Loretta Proctor, and he answered the phone. And the first time, he just wouldn't answer any questions at all and hung up. The second time, I did get him to talk a little bit about what he had seen, and I caught him in a good mood. I heard that he hung out in a convenience store around Capitan, I hung around in a convenience store for a while too, hoping he'd walk in, but he never did. But he had been with Brazel when he found the thing, and I think what happened is that the military talked to him. Yeah. And I mean, he's a 7-year-old kid, and you understand that when an adult and a military guy
scares the heck out of you.
Yeah, exactly. Frankie Rowe, who was the daughter of the firefighter, which is an interesting story as well. She talked about her father seeing the craft and the bodies, and that maybe one of them was alive. And the skeptic said, well, no, that's not true, because we talked to firefighters, and the firefighters said that they didn't make runs outside the city limits at that time. And I went to the fire records, and I think on June 28th they made a run outside the city limits.
Yeah.
So that,
yeah,
that debunked that idea. But in Carl Flock's book, his debunking book, he says, well, I talked to 3 firefighters in Roswell who had been in Roswell, and they said it never happened. I knew nothing about it. And I got to talking to one of the firefighters sometime later on the phone about this. And he was telling me basically the same story that he'd given to Flock. And then I asked him a question that Flock never asked him, which was, did you know Dan Dwyer, who was Frankie Rowe's father, the firefighter? And he said, yeah, he went out there. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, this colonel from the base, and it's always a colonel, it's never a captain, never a lieutenant, it's always a colonel, from the base came out and said, you guys don't need to go out there, we'll handle it with our own firefighters, you don't have to go. But Dan Dwyer went out there in his private car. So, of course, there's no log in the fire log, because it wasn't a fire run outside the city limits. He went out there in his private car. And the guy said, yeah, Dan went out there and saw the whole thing. So one of the firefighters that Flock had talked to, he got the information he wanted, and I'd learned that you always ask the next question because you don't know what you're liable to find. Flock heard the story. He gave me the same story. Well, we didn't go out there. We didn't know anything about it, blah, blah, blah. And then I said, do you know Dan Dwyer? And he said, yeah, he went out there. And then he told me about the colonel coming in and tell him not to talk about it, told him not to go out there, and he went out in his private car. So Frankie Rowe's story, it doesn't mean that that her father saw anything. It means Frankie Rowe was telling us the truth. So all this mean stuff that had been written about her by the skeptics turned out not to be true. She was reporting accurately what her father had told her.
Is she still alive?
Yes.
Still is.
She's a very nice lady, and but this whole thing has frightened her. And I understand that completely.
Do they want nothing to do with this stuff anymore?
Some of the witnesses have kind of gotten to that point. Some of them are very nice in talking to us. You just have to be careful how you approach them and what you say to them.